I had a case involving, for example, the construction of a municipal wastewater system and a wastewater pipeline that was going to go across a vacant piece of property that everyone agreed was well situated for future development as a residential subdivision. The landowner's argument was that this pipeline was going to create a tremendous risk of nuisance odors that would scare off every developer, and the property would not sell after the installation of this line, or it would sell a dramatically decreased price. It took me a little while. None of the experts were offering this opinion, but I figured out that there were two alternatives. One is municipal wastewater, the other is septic, and that it would be profitable to learn everything I could about regulations from the state and local jurisdictions about septic systems. So very, very simple, very rudimentary, but I'm literally Googling what are the different types of septic systems, how do they work, what do they look like, to use that information in my depositions, but then also to look for simple demonstratives that really spell things out at a very basic level. First of all, for someone like me to learn more in the depositions. This is an exhibit I used with several very experienced, very smart engineers to say, look, this is a picture I can understand. Is it accurate? Is it inaccurate? Can you adopt this as a septic system design that is really used out there in the world and will work to help me present at trial that there are only two options for this piece of property? And is the other side really arguing that septic systems would be preferable to a developer as opposed to a wastewater treatment facility? These things are all happening simultaneously. I'm continuing to have these conversations while I'm continuing to read. And as I'm reading, I have another Word document that I've been creating. And it is a list of all of the things that I've been reading and all the questions I have. If I'm reading a petition or I'm reading an application for a permit at the TCEQ, as I work my way through that permit, I have my Word document open. And literally every time I read a word that I don't understand, that I'm not familiar with, I put that word into this document. I go to the dictionary, I go to the internet, and I will get a definition or a list of websites that will explain to me or demonstrate to me what this term or what this word means. I do that as I work through all of my expert reports as well. And then I'm using those conversations and the record that I've made of the conversations. I've got my document that is all the questions that have occurred to me and the answers I've been able to find on my own from the reading I've done about the issues, about the witnesses, about the case. And some point fairly early on, while I continue those two processes, I begin drafting discovery. And some or all of these are discovery vehicles that I've used in different types of cases. Sometimes we don't need all of them. Sometimes we don't have time for all of them. However, the best case scenario for me has been that if I can serve interrogatories and requests for production fairly early and then still have enough time after I've gotten those responses to then send a request for admissions, I find that to be really useful and a really good good use of admissions, because you can take the responses that you've gotten and try to really pin down the other party. If I've gotten non-answers to interrogatories, if I haven't gotten documents in response to requests for production, then my admissions often look like this: admit that you have no evidence to support paragraph 15 of this particular pleading or this assertion in this application, or that you have no documents to support the response to interrogatory number 15. And also fairly early in this process, I'm now doing all of these things simultaneously. I'm continuing to have conversations with people who are really knowledgeable and maybe less than knowledgeable about the themes of my case. I'm continuing to do my own online research. I might be in an iterative process of sending a follow-up to discovery requests, or there might be supplementation of discovery so that those products are continuing to come into me. And fairly early on, I'm starting to draft deposition outlines for the witnesses who I anticipate, whether they're corporate representatives or experts or fact witnesses. They're based on all of this information that I have been gleaning from my conversations and my reading. And they're extremely, extremely detailed. If you could see an outline from 6 months ago and 18 years ago that I drafted, there would be a lot that is similar between them. I will include in the outline things that I ask of every single witness I ever depose, no matter the case, no matter who they are, things that I could ask in my sleep because you ask them of every single witness. I do that with two aspirations. One is if the person who shows up to take the deposition is less than Sue Ayers at her peak performance, which I never want to happen, but you know, we're not all at 100% all day, every day. And there are times when perhaps because we've taken